On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, the women's golf team season is complete and the baseball team's SEC tournament appearance comes to a close, and we look at what that means moving forward for the rest of the postseason. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 160 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And just to do a little reset, in case there are any new listeners out there, what I mean by that is keep the podcast short and sweet, 18 minutes and 1 second to 20 minutes and 1 second, 1801, the founding of USC, and 2001, A Space Odyssey. Even though it's funny, whenever I do that reset, I always feel like I end up having a shorter episode. It's like 16 minutes. But nevertheless, that's the shtick here. But hope y'all are excited for a nice long weekend. I don't care. I don't care what you've done. You deserve it. Yep, you. You deserve the holiday weekend. You deserve that extra day of rest. You deserve a Sunday fun day. You deserve to bask and get ready for the official start of summer that is Memorial Day weekend. And as such, little scheduling change here. There will be no show on Monday. No new episode. I'm going to be traveling, going to be away this weekend, whitewater rafting, ziplining, doing God knows what. It's not what I do. That's not my style as someone who lives in a city, but it's going to be fun. Going to be with some fellow Gamecocks, so there will be no show on Monday. I'm probably going to post the link for the Parker White interview. Just put that out there on social media again. It's a really cool episode. If you have not caught that, I sat down with Parker White for the first athlete interview of the show, talked about his experience at Carolina, what's it like being an SEC athlete, got a little bit of insight into the coaching change and what it was like his first year under Shane Beamer. So it was a really cool conversation, and I think I will post that out on Monday for your listening pleasure. But again, hope y'all have a nice holiday weekend here. So before I jump into news, scores, highlights, lowlights, let's do the handy dandy Gamecock fact and trivia calendar here. It is a fact today. Gamecocks beach volleyball standout Carly Schneider finished her career in 2021, and it was one of the best in program history. Her 92 career wins were third on South Carolina list, while her 42 conference wins and 139 career starts both ranked second. Shout out to Carly Schneider. Great career. Great Gamecock, Carly Schneider. Shout out to you. So only news outside of baseball that I have from the Athletics is that the women's golf team, they finished up their season. You'll remember they went to the national championship tournament. They finished fourth in the championship as a team. So when you look at the teams in the field and the amount of teams in the field, that is quite the accomplishment. So A, congrats again on getting there. B, congrats on a very nice season. And speaking of seasons, postseasons, wrapping up and everything like that, the baseball team was in action this week. As y'all know, it was the SEC tournament out in Hoover, Alabama, and Hoover was just doing Hoover things. There was plenty of weather. The tarp was getting plenty of action. I called it the hardest working tarp in all of sports, as the weather in Hoover this time of year is notoriously mysterious, iffy, unpredictable. And so it was just a lot going on all weekend. You had games that were delayed, pushed, and things like that. But it was pretty nice where you put on the SEC Network about 9 in the morning and you left it on until the day was over and there was just baseball on constantly. But specifically talking about the Gamecocks here, going into this tournament, this felt like the chance for the Gamecocks to get their swagger back, to get a couple of wins, to not just to prove to anyone else, but to themselves that they are ready for a deep postseason run. And there was also this scenario where the team could have a really nice showing in Hoover and secure themselves as a host for a regional instead of being on the bubble of being one. Talked a lot about this last episode, right? So there was all this hope going into the tournament that the team was going to click. We were going to see that magic again. We were going to get rolling again. And we're going to get ready for a deep postseason run. And for a brief moment in time, that happened. And it was glorious. And it lasted for about one whole day. About 24 hours. Less than 24 hours if you include the end of the game. South Carolina won the first game and ended up losing the next two in the double elimination round to have a very short stay in the SEC tournament and only continuing and perpetuating the question marks and frustration around this team, particularly the finish that this team has had. So I'm going to quickly run through each game and then give some thoughts on where we're at, basically. So game one, it was Tuesday morning, 10:30 a.m. Eastern start, which, by the way, you know, all scores and everything aside, morning baseball, when you're working, is fantastic. It is the best way to distract yourself from work. I mean, afternoon day games are great, but 10:30 a.m., throw it on the TV behind you, your phone, laptop, fantastic way to distract yourself. That was at least like the big benefit from this week. But in game one, South Carolina beat Georgia 9-0, which, I mean, look, I know Georgia is not particularly great in baseball historically, but any time that we can beat Georgia in anything, I take a lot of satisfaction in that. Like, to hell with Georgia. But Carolina got the scoring started early, scoring two in the second, and then they got three in the fourth. And when I was watching the game, after they scored two in the second, I said to myself, we got to get a crooked number again soon. We can't let it go where we score early, and then it takes to the sixth or seventh inning to get it going again. They did exactly that, getting three in the fourth. And the story of this game was that it was contributions from the whole lineup. 1 through 9, you had guys hitting, and particularly the bottom third of the lineup. I think the stat was that the bottom three guys had 5 hits and something like 4 or 5 RBI. So very, very dangerous when we do that, and very nice to see, right? Everyone chipping in. All the scoring, by the way, was done without the ball leaving the yard. Guys get on base, singles, triples, sac flies, manufacturing runs. James Hicks was brilliant as he got the start, going scoreless for 6 2/3 inning, allowing just 4 hits. Cade Austin came in and finished the game. 2 guys shut out. Some player highlights for y'all. Will Tippett, 3 for 4 with 3 RBI. Evan Stone, 2 for 3 with 2 RBI. And Braylon Wimmer went 2 for 4. And, you know, Mark Kingston talked about after this game that when you get those guys, like your Tippetts, your Stones, contributing, that's when this team is at its most dangerous, right? So that brings us to game two, which was the double elimination round. Wednesday morning, the Gamecocks lost to LSU 10-3. And, you know, this was actually started off as a pitcher's duel for about the first 5.5 innings, with Carolina actually being no hit until that point. And then Petrie cut the 2-0 lead in half by blasting a solo home run, which was great to see. It was great to see that power shot come back for Petrie. He's been hitting the wall, been hitting the ball pretty well, but as far as that power, that pop, it was great to see that again. But then, unfortunately, you know, after that, the floodgates kind of opened a bit, and LSU scored on some bases-loaded walks. Then they strung together a couple of rallies in the later innings, and that was all she wrote. Eli Jones got the start and the loss, going four innings and allowing four runs. Player highlights: Ethan Petrie, 1-for-3 with 2 RBI. Talmadge Lecroy, 1-for-3 with 1 RBI. And Michael Braswell went 1-for-3. Of note, tell me if you heard this before, but a Gamecock got injured. Cole Messina got banged up. He took a, it was pretty wicked actually, like he took a foul ball right to the catcher's mask, just right to the forehead of the catcher's mask. And he finished the inning, and I'm pretty sure he like went to, like the next half inning happened and he went to go catch again. And in the warmups, Kingston and the trainer went and looked at him and was determined that he would not finish the game. He's in the concussion protocol day to day. So Jonathan French came in and caught the rest of the game. Game three here, this was Thursday morning. Carolina lost to Texas A&M 5-0 and thus eliminated from the tournament. And once again, you know, just the offense was not present for South Carolina, making A&M's pitcher look like a Cy Young winner. The Gamecocks got one hit, which they said was something like the sixth time ever that that's happened in the history of the SEC tournament, that a team has been one hit. In all those games, it's like the sixth time it's happened. Jack Mahoney got the start on short rest, and honestly, given the circumstances, he pitched pretty decent, all things considered, and really as did the rest of the guys. Mahoney got the loss, going four innings, giving up four runs. Becker and Veach finished things up. You know, only gave up five runs, like all told, right? Some player highlights here. Well, I put player highlight because there's only one. It's the one hit, and that's Will Tippett going 1-for-4. So, where do we stand? We had an SEC tournament run, which I feel like has sort of embodied the end of the season. And it's funny because I said that about the last series against Tennessee, how that also embodied this last month that we've seen, where you have a game where you look good, you get good pitching, timely hitting, scored a lot of runs, and you think to yourself, all right, we're back. I don't know what it was, but we're back. Only to follow that up with a disappointing performance and one in which the team that you saw perform well, just it doesn't even look like the same team. So you definitely end the year and end this tournament on a weird note where you're just incredibly inconsistent. And that's not the kind of space you want to be in any sport, as you're turning into the postseason, where it's truly do or die. You don't want to be up and down. You don't want to be a team that one day shows up and the next day does not. And, you know, when you look at Mark Kingston's post-game quotes, post-tournament quotes now, you know, he was saying that we got to find a way to get the magic back. And I found the whole thing like very coach speak, and I found it kind of frustrating, honestly, because he's like, how do we get Gavin Cassis to the point where he's hitting well and carrying us again? How do we get Braylon Wimmer back into the field where he's playing really solid defense and playing with swagger and leading us? That's your job. Like what? Like, how do we get Gavin Cassis going again? I don't know. Wouldn't we all love that? I think if he had the answer, he would have done it by now. Are we talking about maybe changing up the approach? maybe being a little bit more aggressive at the plate, not trying to draw as many walks, especially in high leverage situations like the bases loaded. Saying that it'd be great to have Braylon Wimmer on the field again. Yeah, no shit. That's what we've been saying for the last month. But he's not healthy enough. So, like, what good does that comment do? How do we get the most out of the guys who are on the field and who are healthy and who have been healthy? Are we making adjustments in the lineup drastically? Are we changing up the approach? What are we doing with the guys that we have right now? What happened to them? How come their production dipped? And I think that's what's been frustrating to me. It's just a very weird quote. But nonetheless, the question now turns to regionals. And I said this when the regular season ended. It's funny because, you know, last year we didn't even make regionals. And the SEC tournament was a one and done. So it was all just a disaster. Right now we're in a sort of a meltdown, but like it's a fading away type of deal. But there's still hope where you have the regionals coming up. It's really just a matter of, are we going to host or not? And Kingston said, you know, if you look at the totality of things with wins total, then when you look at some of the impressive wins earlier in the season, in his opinion, we should be hosting. He also said, if you look at how we've played lately, you could understand why there'd be some questions about that. So you're on the bubble. We're going to find out in a couple of days. I don't know. But we're talking about hosting or not hosting here. So you have to perform in regionals. Before the season started, I talked about how regionals is the bare minimum expectation at this school and as the head coach of the South Carolina baseball team. Like, that should be a given year in and year out, getting to the regionals. So this shouldn't be celebrated as like, oh yeah, like we still got this going. Like, no, like, what are you going to do to get to the Supers and beyond? In my preseason episode, we talked about, for Mark Kingston's job security, Supers or bust. I still think that's true. And to be honest, I'm kind of sour on the guy right now, but this team has another chance yet again, right? It's like we keep foul tipping. It's like it's a full count on this season and we keep foul tipping it. You know, you got one game against Tennessee in that last series, foul tip. You're in the SEC tournament. You won that game. Okay, well, now it's regionals. Are you going to be able to put together a couple of wins, regardless of where it is? Right now, we're not seeing a lot of consistency. That needs to change. And I'm still holding on. I'm a prisoner of hope that one game can turn this around. If you're saying we got Will Sanders coming back, you got the Calvary coming back with Will Sanders, and he pitches that first game of regionals, maybe that sparks something. Maybe that gets on a run. That's all this team has to do. Just get on a little run, which we know they're capable of. And maybe by the time regionals is back, Wimmer can be in the field. And I think that can change the dynamic of this thing. But we have to wait and see. Host or no host, the pressure is on. And this team has not trended exactly in the right way, but we know the talent's there. We know that it's possible. We've seen it with our own eyes. So it's really just a matter of putting it together. And as the type of fan that I am, I'm going to have hope, right? I'm not going to go into regionals thinking bad thoughts. I got hope. I see a good team. I see a good team that's just been underperforming the last couple of weeks for reasons unknown. So hopefully Kingston and company can look at themselves in the mirror, maybe take a little bit of a different approach and string together a couple of wins in this postseason, because now it starts, right? Now the season's on the line. So we'll see how it shakes out. And obviously next episode, I'll be breaking down everything as far as matchups, where we're at, path forward, and everything like that. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Reminder, no show on Monday, but please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.